Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
Now, over the past few weeks, as I said, we've been in a series called One. And in this series, we've been talking about the values that we see as defining the church, defining what it means to be the church. What I've been saying the last few weeks, man, we need to be the church. And so we've really been talking about the values really that we hold dear, these values that make us one in Christ, as a body of Christ. We're supposed to be one body in Christ. And what makes us one? What was the culture of the early church that brought them together from the beginning? What was it? I really believe that there were particular values that you see in Christ's life that were disseminated throughout the people that followed him and that came from him. There are certain values that if you look through the word, that it paints a picture. It's kind of clear. And as we were forming this church, putting stuff down on paper, trying to plan, what is this church going to look like? What do we want this church to be like? And there were certain values that just kind of stuck out, that certain things that came up time and time again and was like, okay, well, that has to be one. Okay, and that has to be one. And so we ended up with seven. Seven values. There's seven core values that we have as a church. If you didn't know that, you learned something new today. Seven core values that we have as a church. And so we've been teaching on them week by week, and I'm not going to re-preach the ones that we've done so far, but we're actually on number four this week. So I'm just going to say what the other ones are. If you want to hear kind of what the other three have been before, I encourage you, man, jump on our podcast, iTunes Store, Google Play Store. You can certainly listen to it. But the first week we said this. It says our first value, the kind of the most important and significant value that we have as a church is that we follow Jesus. It's the most important one, right? If there's anything people want to know, what is City Church like, City Heart Church like? What is City Heart Church about? You could say this if you never said any of the other six. If you say this one, you're good, right? You should know, okay, we follow Jesus, right? Anybody says, man, what's City Heart Church about? What's the culture of that church? What does it feel like? Man, we follow Jesus. He's the model that we follow. He's the savior that we need, and we do everything that we can to model ourselves after him. We follow Jesus. Second one that we feel as a church signifies the culture of our church is we're all heart, that we have an all-heart approach to every person that we encounter, no matter what they've been through, no matter what they look like, no matter where they come from. Our perspective is that they're loved by God. And if they're loved by God, that means that I should love them too, right? Everything else that might play into how we normally perceive people wipes away when we put it in the context of following Jesus. If we're going to follow Jesus, that means we have to follow kind of how he saw people, right? And so we're all heart. And the third thing we said last week is that we live to serve. We live to serve. What comes out of that following Jesus and having this approach is that we're going to do everything that we can, everything possible to serve others, right? Seeing them how God sees them. And I kind of gave this scary mission to everybody last week, and I kind of told everybody that you're all ministers. And people's faces were like, what? Wait, you're the pastor. I'm a minister. Yes, we are. You're all ministers. I decreed last week, you're all in the ministry now. And people look like, what, me? Yes, you. Pastor, but you don't know what I did last week or 3 weeks ago. So what? Right? What the Lord said is when he died on the cross, man, we have that message and ministry of reconciliation. And so it's our job to serve. If you really look up what does minister means, it means to care or to care for somebody else's needs. That's all a minister is, to care for the needs of others. So that means that you're all ministers, right? I've called you all into the ministry. Welcome. You'll get your papers as you leave today. No, I'm just playing. You're all ministers. And so this week, the fourth value of our church, the fourth thing that we hold dear, that we are saying, man, this is who we want to be as a church. This is who we're striving to be as a church. We're saying this, man, we give and grow. We give and grow. And I think it's sort of funny that this one fell on this weekend being, you know, Halloween weekend. And it's interesting because I was thinking about it. I was like, man, it's something that I never really got to do as a kid. Something I never got to do because I was a church kid. And as a church kid, I never got to trick-or-treat. Never, not once, right? Some of you like me, you went to church and you went to Hallelujah Night, right? I'm not the only one, right? And you know, they did Hallelujah Night. We had Harvest Party or Fall Fest. right? There, right? He had everything, but I wanted Halloween, right? I was like, can I just have normal Halloween? Can I be normal like the other kids and have Halloween and go trick-or-treating? I want to go knock on some stranger's door and ask them for candy. Can I do that, please? Right? And it was like, no, you can't do that. You can't have, no, you're going to go to Hallelujah night. And I'm like, man, I don't want to go to Hallelujah night. I want to go trick-or-treating. My friend's out toilet papering people's houses and throwing eggs at people, and I'm in there, you know, we're in. Now, the thing about it, and I will say this, they tried to make it fun, right? They tried to make it fun. They tried to make it, you know, amazing. But I'm like, man, I wanted the joy of walking up to somebody's house and knocking on their door and having them give me raisins, because people do that. Or people try to give you, like, and I'm sorry if you are this way, I apologize. I'm not trying to offend you. But, like, I wanted to walk up somebody's door in this day and age and get some gluten-free candy, right? Or there are nice people that gave you vegetables. No, I want Reese's peanut butter cups. That's what I wanted. Give me what I wanted, right? But I never got that joy. Now, we had fun. Now, the cool thing about if you had a Hallelujah night or a Fall Fest or anything like that, I always came home with more candy than the kids actually went trick-or-treating. So that part I actually appreciated about it. But, like, I wanted the part, man, at night, dark, costume on, right? Just a little, you want just that little bit of feeling. I wanted that, right? And so, man, the thing that's cool about that is that this season that we're going into, and Halloween's kind of the start of it, where we just start giving stuff away to people for random reasons. Right, we're doing something that's kind of not expected. It's kind of above and beyond what we really have to do. It's what we do, and that's really the word for that is generosity, and that's what this value give and grow is all about. It's all about generosity, and generosity is it's a readiness to give more than is strictly necessary or expected. It's a readiness to give more than is strictly necessary or expected. And so this value that we have give and grow, it's really this. We're saying that, man, we're devoted to generosity, that we're going to follow the pattern of God when it comes to giving. And whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, whether it's our treasure, that, man, we believe that giving is an avenue for growth. It's an avenue for growth in our not only in our personal lives, but within the lives of others, that we can affect somebody else by how we give, by how we're generous, right? We're coming up towards the end of the year, and if you're like me, you work for a company, I work outside of here, right? And when it comes to the end of the year, you have an expectation that, man, maybe I'll get a bonus, right? Maybe my boss will be nice enough, he'll see and recognize all the hard work, and that, man, I was in on time, and maybe late like 3 or 4 times, but most of the time I was here on time, right? And that he'll bless me with a little something extra, right? That's generous. It's something that's above and beyond what's expected. And I'm saying to us as a church, as far as one of our values, man, I want us to be generous. Why? It's because God is generous with us. He's generous with us. We read a little bit earlier, John 3:16, man, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He was generous with his son for us, his one only son, that, man, whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal, or the King James Version says, everlasting life. The thing I love about, man, Jesus coming and being on the cross is that, and him dying and the Lord doing this, is that as once the church formed, right, we became a part of this process, right? This process of generosity, this process of how God gave, we've assumed that. Now it's our role. If you look, God has given us a role to play in this process, and it's through our generosity. So now when people come to the Lord, that's why we come and we set up on a Saturday and we put up lights and TV and run cords every week and make sure there's coffee ready when you come in and it smells kind of halfway good in here and that, man, it's not too hot, it's not too cold. We're doing all of this because now we're a part of the process of helping people to believe in God and helping them to come to a place where they can find eternal life. That happens through our generosity. We create a place that's welcoming and warm. And I've been saying that, man, let's create a place that's, man, really welcoming. When somebody comes in, they can feel like, man, I can be exactly who I am. I can be exactly who God made me. And that through that process of getting to know him, that, man, the stuff that I need to work on, I'll start working on that stuff. And I'm saying, you know what? Let's give them an easy first step in. Let's make, when they come in here, it doesn't feel difficult. It doesn't feel strained. It doesn't feel hard. Man, let's make it really easy for people to come and connect with God. So that, man, as they get to know him, all the behavioral stuff, the things that we think, oh, we might be looking as our in our little uppity Christian noses, that doesn't look so right, right? We can kind of look at them and begin to recognize that, man, God is working on them, but he's using me in creating a place where they can feel welcome, right? And your generosity, when you give, it helps to create that space. Everything that you see here, this isn't my stuff, it's our stuff, right? We give to make sure that we can that we have access to this building, that when we come in that the lights come on, right? And that they don't lock us out. Thank you, Lord. New Summer School, I appreciate y'all. That they don't lock us out every week. They let us come and set up and be here, even in the middle of the week that we have small group here. Man, your generosity helps to create that space. And I think sometimes the church has kind of gotten it twisted where we felt like, man, you know, you should be doing this anyway. Let's make sure that, man, you are being generous and it's appreciated. I don't think the church ever tells people enough, your giving is appreciated. What you do helps the next person that needs to know God, right? That's what your generosity does. And it's not just about money. Let me say that right here. It's not just about money. What also helps to create this is people's time. People's time. People give and devote their time to coming out on a Saturday for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes, depending on how many people show up, to get all of this set up. And then some people, you just get to walk in and chill and kind of sit your hips down. And that's great. And I love it. And I'm glad you get to do that. But at some point, you have to take on your part of it. That's what we talked about last week of living to serve. And I'm saying give, be generous, not only in your treasure, your money, anything that you consider treasure. Don't only be generous in your time, but also be generous in your talent. We talked about it last week. Man, we live to serve. Use the gifts, the talents, the things that make you great. Begin to use those to be a blessing to somebody else. That somebody else can come to know the Lord, that somebody else can begin to experience his warmth and his embrace and his grace just like you have. You know why? Because somebody did it for you. Somebody did it for you. Somebody was there making sure that whatever church you got saved in, if it was here, if it wasn't here, that the lights were on, that, man, somebody knew a little bit of half a word to give to you. Somebody took the time to prepare and use their talents and gifts. Maybe somebody watched your kids. Man, that they gave their time. So I'm saying for us, man, let's do that for the next person, right? Let's go ahead and just, man, let's run that for the next person. Let's run it back, as you say in basketball. Man, let's run it back for somebody else. Let somebody else get in on the game. Man, and when you begin to do that, man, when you give, growth follows. When you give, growth follows. As you've given, as you can see, growth is following in our church. Growth is following not only naturally, but also spiritually in people's lives. People are growing in their faith through their generosity. Proverbs 11:25 says this is the blessing that comes as far as you giving. The generous will prosper. If you're generous, you're going to prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Pastor Kevin, are you preaching prosperity gospel? No, I'm not. I'm not saying that you're going to have $1 million tomorrow. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you are generous, what the Lord promises you is that you will prosper, that you will be healthy, have life, that he will protect what you give and what you have. That's what prospering really means, that you will have a healthy and happy life, right? That's really what prospering means. And so if I'm thinking of it in that way, I'm thinking of it not as a requirement, but rather as a privilege. It's my privilege to give. It's my privilege to make sure that I'm setting it up for the next person, that I'm setting the table for somebody else, that it's not just about me. We recognize that, man, as we freely give our personal best to bless others, man, we're going to receive in the same manner that we give from God. So as we give, we're going to receive in the same manner. And because generosity means giving more than what is necessary or expected, it really is a decision that you must make. I can't make it for you. I'm not going to try to condemn you. I'm not really going to try to push you. We give one offering in this church. It's always at the end of the message, typically. Why? It's because I don't ever want it to seem like there's going to be a $50 line, $100 line, because people have been in those services before, right? Or people are pushing you to give something. I'm saying, no. What has God, have you talked to God and asked him, Lord, what should I give? What should I give? That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you, I'm not going to add to try to push or prod or salesman you or anything like that. I'm going to say, talk to God and ask him, Lord, what should I give? Allow him to begin to be involved in that conversation, even with your time. Lord, what should I give? I promise you, the Lord's never going to say nothing. Right? Lord, you should give nothing. You should never give your time. You should never use it. The Lord is not going to say that. I promise you that. But he's going to give you what he's going to tell you. He's going to help you to see what it is that you can give, what it is that you can be generous with. 2 Corinthians 9:7, we read it before, says each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. If the Lord is in your heart, he will help you to make that decision. And it's not reluctantly. He doesn't want you to do it reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. So when I give, my disposition should be cheerful, excited, happy. It should be a pleasant feeling. When me and my wife give, I'm never like, oh, I got to write this tithe check. Church. I don't have that feeling. I'm like, you know what? Man, my obedience to the Lord, I'm giving, my tithe out of obedience. What I give over top of that is my offering. Let me make that distinction. What I give to the Lord, my tithe, that's an expectation. That is the expected. What I get, what I'm generous with is above that expectation. Everybody understand that? I want to make sure it's really clear, right? The tithe is a given. It's a given. It's like taxes. It's a given. I'm not saying it's like taxes, it is taxes. I'm saying it's a gift. It's something that you should do. Why? Out of your obedience to God. But man, when I'm generous with especially my time and my talent, then now you're really doing something. And those are the three major ways that we should be generous with our time, with our talent, with our treasure. And so these core values that we've been teaching and we're asking you to apply, not just to our church, but to your individual life, we're asking you to do it so that you can be blessed by God. It's not just that, man, we want you to do it so that our church can look good. I'm saying if you start to apply following Jesus, living to serve, being giving and growing, man, it's going to actually change your life. And as your life changes, our church will change and grow. As your life changes, you'll be able to impact somebody else in an amazing way. People will begin to look at you like, man, I wonder what's going on with them. Man, they got jobs coming out everywhere, man. They're just blessed. They're all walking around all cheerful. What is going on with them? People will start to wonder. They'll start to look, I know you. Man, you've been at that church a lot. You go up there on Wednesday for small group, and then you're on there on Saturday, and then you're there on Sunday. Like, what's wrong with you? And you can say, man, you know what? The Lord's blessing my life. Man, he's doing something in me that I can't explain. And I really don't, you may not even know how to explain it. You might not know the word to say, I don't know what's going on. I just know that my life is different than when it was before. And I'm trying to keep that going. I'm not trying to mess that up. Are y'all open on Thursday, Pastor? Y'all got a little time on Thursday? I'm like, look, I don't know. Come by. But school might be in session. But I'm like, man, get in here. Get involved. Man, be generous. Do what you have to do. Why? It's because, man, now we have the ministry of reconciliation. That ministry is now ours. That message is now yours. It's yours to take and begin to share with somebody else. It's not something now that you're blessed, I'm just going to keep this to myself, right? Where now you're the mean lady giving out raisins. Don't give people church raisins. Give them church Reese's. They want church Reese's. They don't want vegetables. I want all my gluten. You keep my gluten in there. But sometimes that's what happens, man. We give people church raisins, right? And then we kind of look at God like it's a trick-or-treat situation. Am I right? Why we look at God like, man, if I give this, God, man, am I going to get it back? Man, if I put in this time, man, they don't even appreciate me. That man, I'm giving my tithe, but man, what pastor driving now? I'm driving a 2004 Kia Spectra, just so anybody knows. If you got one rim missing on the back wheel, if you ever want to know, right? This is going towards building God's kingdom, right? And I want to make sure that's clear, that I'm not trying to line my pockets. Is my family being fed? I want to make sure I have two girls, that they have something to eat. Yes, right? But I'm not trying to milk on you. I'm not driving a brand new Cadillac Escalade. If you do want to buy me a car, and I was playing. But I'm saying, like, I'm not driving that. Why? Because I want to make sure that whoever comes in here, that whatever we use, man, it's for the glory of building up his kingdom. It's that we're continuing that message and that ministry of reconciliation. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm saying, man, so for all of us, when you start to assume that message and that ministry of reconciliation, you go from being a consumer of church to now being an investor in church. That's a difference in approach. I can come to church and I can consume, right? I can come in and get the worship, I can come and drink the coffee, I can come with the kids' ministry, I can come in and hear a good word, and I can go home, and I really haven't given, I haven't put anything in. And I'm saying, man, I want us to be investors in the church, investors in the kingdom. I want you to begin to think about, man, what I'm doing is an investment on my life. I'm investing in God, and I'm investing in God's people. And I promise you, man, that return on investment is amazing. For anybody that has ever dabbled in stocks and bonds and investment, that ROI is a big deal. What am I getting for what am I putting in? You want to know, okay, am I getting back what it is that I'm putting in? That return on investment is a big deal, because it can be a risk. If you put something in to something that you don't know the outcome that you're getting back, that's risky. That's not a smart move. That's why people put stuff in securities and they put it in bonds, stuff that is long-lasting, that's going to take little increments. It might not increase that much, right? I'm going to put in just this little bit of amount. It might yield just a little bit over top over a long period of time. And I'm saying, look, push a whole bunch in to God. Why? Because the manner and the measure in which he's going to return it to you is going to be more than you could expect. And Pastor, where are you getting this from, Pastor? Okay. All right, let me take you back to here, right? If I'm putting in my talents and giving my treasure my time, what am I getting back? Luke 6:35 tells us, man, to lend without expecting to get anything back, and your reward will be great. Lend without expecting to get anything back, and your reward will be great. You know what is at the beginning of that verse? It's talking about your enemies. That's not even talking about good people that you like. That's talking about your enemy, saying, man, if you have an enemy, lend to them without expecting to get anything back, and your reward will be great. What do you think God's going to do if you give to some people that you actually like, to people that you actually care about? I'm asking us all to make an investment in God and his people, not in your enemies that will. And when you invest, it's going to produce growth. Right? And I'll give you a better verse, which is a little bit further down. It says this, 6:38. It says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When I give of my time, my talent, and my treasure, the expectation of what I have is found in this verse. Give, and it will be given back to you. So if I'm going to invest, I'm saying, man, that investment is going to come back, right? Any good broker is going to tell you that. Hey, if you put this in, you're going to get this particular yield on whatever it is you put in as far as an investment. You want to know that I'm going to get back at least what I put in. But with God, it works a little bit differently. Can I give you an example? Can I show you kind of how this verse really works? Jamar, if you don't mind helping me out, this could just come up here real quick. All right, I want to show it to you this way. All right. Just hold this. I have Jamar as my example. You can stand anywhere up there. Yeah, you're just going to hold that. He's going to hold it. Okay, so imagine this is your measure, right? This is your particular measure. This is what you have to hold or to give to God. This is your time. This is your talent. This is your treasure that you have available, okay? Now,
this is the measure that you use to give. What God is saying is this, all right? Give, and it will be given to you, right? So if I give of this time and this talent, this treasure, what he's going to do is he's going to give it back to you, right? Now, here's what it says. Now, you can went a little faster. Now, what it says there is what? It's a good measure. You're going to kind of press it down just a little bit in there, if you don't mind, right? Just press it down in the bag, right? Just press it down just a little bit, right? What's he doing? What he's doing is creating, look, bag's already busting open. He's creating more space. What God's saying, well, I'm going to give you a good measure, press down, shake it together to make a little bit more. Just shake the bag just a little bit, right? Shaking together. And then what he's going to do, God's saying, I'm going to give you more. It's actually going to run over. It's not just what you are putting in. A lot of times we think that God's going to give us back. Thank you, Jamar. Right? A lot of times we think that God's going to give us back exactly what we've given. God's saying, no. The measure that I'm giving you, man, I'm going to press it down. I'm going to create some room. Man, I'm going to shake it. Right? You have a bag of leaves and you shake that bag. What are you doing? You're trying to push it down and make more room. Man, I'm going to press it together and then I'm going to give you some more. And man, how do you know that, Pastor? Man, I'm saying this, God's measure is different than our measure. If you noticed before, I said God will give it back to you in the same manner. But his measure is different than yours. His capacity is different than yours. God's capacity is this. That's God's capacity. It's not this small thing. He's saying, man, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you so much bigger. I'm giving back more than you could have ever received. And that's why I'm saying, man, let's be generous. On every account, whenever we can, with our time, with our talent, with our treasure. Why? Because God wants to bless you back. Give generously, and it will be given to you generously. Right? 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Right? So if I don't give of my time, if I'm not giving of my talent, if I'm stingy with my treasure, I'm also going to reap back that same thing. But, man, if I sow generously, if I plant a seed, if I'm thinking about people when I'm giving my time, my talent, my treasure, if I'm consistent with it, am I faithful in what I do, it says that you will also reap generously. You also reap generously. We give in the church to our community. We give to the kingdom. We give to the local church, not only so that it can bless me, but so that, man, I can get in on how God is trying to bless somebody else. I'm saying, man, I want to change the life of somebody else. I want to change how they see God. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to have people that are stuck in a life of sin. There's people in my life that need the Lord, and they need me to be generous with how I approach them, with my time and my talents and my treasure. Why? So that they can come to know the Lord. That's why I'm saying to be generous. It's not for anything personal. It's not for personal gain. It's so that we can all have a relationship with the Lord, but so that somebody else might experience God in an amazing way. That's why we give. That's why I'm saying, man, be a giver. Be somebody that gives. If you look at the early church in Acts 2, it talks about how the early church, man, they took it to the extreme. They sold houses and possessions. They did stuff, why? Just so that everybody else could be blessed. I'm not necessarily asking you to sell your house, but I'm asking you to sell this house, to give what's inside of you so that somebody else might be blessed, that somebody else might be encouraged, that it's more than just you. God has made you. He's given you the measure that you have, not to hold it, but to give it. He's given you the talents and the gifts that you have, not to hold it, but to share it with somebody else. He's given you the love that you have, not to hold it, but to give it to somebody else. There's somebody else lost in this world that needs your story. But if you're holding on to it versus being generous with it, how can they be blessed? How can they live? How can they know who God is if you're not willing to give? I'm saying to all of us, I'm challenging all of us. It's not about money. A little bit about money, but it's more than just money. It's about your time. It's about your talent. It's about your treasure. Man, what can you give? As we give as a church, we're going to continue to grow. Some of you have given, and I'm saying
thank you. For those who come on a Saturday and help out, who come faithfully every week and help us out, I'm saying thank you. Thank you so much. Who come and you give and you serving kids. We got people back there in kids right now. Man, that do that, that even serve and worship and whatever you do, I'm saying thank you for doing that. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for going above and beyond what is expected. God's saying, man, if you do that, as you sow, you're going to reap. God is, he is just waiting for us to sow. He's just waiting for us, man, to begin to use our talent and gifts. Why? So that he can begin to bless us to overflowing where our bags can't even hold, where we can't even receive. That's what it means. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even receive. Your bag can't even hold it, what I'm trying to give you back. So I'm saying to us, man, let's be generous. And what does it say? And with this, 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God will generously provide all you need. You don't have to worry about, man, God, do you got me? He's saying, he's already promised it. I will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need. Always. That's not sometimes. He's saying always have everything you need and plenty left over to share. That's how I want to be. I want to give so much that, man, I've got everything all set up, but I'm always able to give more. That's a blessed life. That's how we become and will continue to be and grow as an amazing church, is as we continue to give. I'm saying be devoted to generosity. Be devoted to it. Follow God's pattern. I'm not saying do it because I say do it. I'm saying to do it because God did it. Give of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Why? It's because it's an avenue for growth for you and somebody else. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.